Hi, you're listening to CompTIA's Coffee Break with the Councils podcast. Each podcast will bring you a CompTIA Industry Advisory Council member talking about the latest trends and topics in the technology industry. Please subscribe to our channel, and you can always go to CompTIA.org/councils for more information. Thanks.
All right. Welcome to this podcast. I'm here with Robert Forget, who's the Chief Technology Officer of Aware 360. He is also the Vice Chair of the Smart Cities Advisory Council here at CompTIA, and we're going to go over some of the identified skills that are needed for solution providers that want to sell into smart cities. So, hey, welcome, Robert.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, so the first, at a recent meeting, the council had discussed the different skills that were needed for solution providers to sell into smart cities. And they identified 17 different skills, but we're going to concentrate on the top four today. So the first one, and Robert's going to explain it, is IoT solutions architecture. So Robert, why don't you tell us a little bit about what that means and what that skill means for solution providers?
For sure. So for IoT solutions architecture, that's really one of the largest reaching, I think, skills that we identified as a council. For IoT solutions architecture, it's really understanding what you need to put in place in order to accomplish the business goals or the goals for the city that's actually implementing these projects. So the IoT solutions architecture as a skill is really taking really high-level business requirements and figuring out what you need to build in order to hit those use cases. So that's going to be everything from understanding the hardware and devices that are required through to the back-end platforms, the database data requirements, what you're going to need for other emerging technologies in order to kind of hit those use cases. So it encompasses some of the other skills that we have listed in the top 17, and we'll actually be talking about a couple of the ones that I mentioned here as we go through. But the solutions architecture piece is really at the top level. It's the top level technology and the map, so to speak, that you need to follow in order to get to your destination.
So can you go into, I know that this is a coffee break size podcast, but can you go into a little bit more detail about what you mean by IoT solutions architecture?
For sure. So the IoT solutions architecture piece is really building the platform and building the solution. So if you've got four or five different projects that you're deploying for a smart city, maybe it's parking, maybe one's related to the safety of city staff, another one for air quality, and one for water, for example. Obviously, they're very different in that final end use case for each of those projects. The solutions architecture is knitting it all together so that you have a holistic view and a way of getting to that information for the city to understand what they're gathering, but also for the citizens so that the citizen can go and take a look and see what it is that is being provided by these devices and these projects. So really, that becomes a matter of being able to pick and choose what's best suited to do that. If you take it and think of it for maybe a simpler example, something like Facebook. It's not necessarily a simple example, but architecture at Facebook and architecture at a smart city are going to have a lot in common. For Facebook, you're going to have to pick and choose what technologies you can use in order to update your statuses, make sure that your news feed is updated in real time, and make sure that the information that is being provided to you as a consumer is what you need. Same thing with a smart city. We need to be able to architect that solution so that the outcome is good for the citizen, but the citizen can also consume that data in a meaningful way. So that could be as simple as a dashboard that's web accessible. It could be as complicated as an app on a phone where you're now taking only a piece of the information and providing it to them in a different way for a better user experience or with a better UI. So there's a lot of variation in solutions architecture, and it's a skill that's definitely required, but it's a skill that again, it spans a lot. And because of that, I think we need to take a much closer look at that skill as it relates to the others.
Perfect. That's a great explanation. So the next skill that the council had identified was AI and machine learning. So how does that play into the skills that a solution provider needs for smart city selling?
So AI and machine learning are two skills that are definitely part of the emerging technologies set of outcomes that are out there right now. And with smart cities, the one thing about a lot of the smart cities projects is they're gathering a massive amount of data. What do you do with a massive amount of data? You can't just look at it. So if I was to display the information from 2,000 sensors that are deployed out in the field in a giant spreadsheet, I can guarantee you that nobody's going to make rhyme or reason of that data, and it's not going to be meaningful. So back to that, providing meaning to the data that you're collecting. With AI and machine learning, both supervised as well as unsupervised machine learning, those skills are able to take vast quantities of data and boil it down to something that can actually be consumed by the user at the end of the day. So having an example of that would be air quality. Let's go with air quality because it's a nice, easy one. If I've got 500 air quality sensors out in my city, I could look at all 500 of those air sensor qualities and I could have a moment in time snapshot of what that air quality is. What that wouldn't allow me to do is what is the variation over time? What kind of events trigger a change in that baseline air quality that we're seeing with the city? Or what are the other projects doing that are improving the air quality? So having the AI and machine learning will allow us now to compare that air quality data against other metrics as well. So we can see what weather patterns do to affect air quality. We can see what improving traffic or improving parking controls on other projects do to affect air quality. And between the two, especially in an unsupervised machine learning environment, this is something that if you understand it and you have somebody with that skill set in the project, they're able to now provide you with notifications and specific actionable information out of that data that you're collecting, as opposed to simply a set of information.
All right. So two important skills. We've got two more to cover. So one that's obvious in my mind to smart cities and IoT is the wireless connectivity portion. So explain a little bit about that and how that fits in with a smart city deployment.
Yeah, and the more that I thought about that skill after we came up with it as the top skills for smart cities, the more I think that maybe that's one that we should be breaking into sub-skills or potentially even additional items. But really, yes, wireless connectivity is hugely important because whenever you're deploying tens of thousands of sensors out into the field, you need some way of getting that data back to a centralized source. So up comes wireless connectivity. So wireless connectivity for IoT as a skill is really understanding the different options that are available to you as a solutions provider to provide to that city for that deployment, understanding implementation aspects around it, understanding costs both upfront as well as ongoing are all very, very important pieces to have a good grasp on. So going with cellular is obviously one option that pops into everyone's mind. Cellular is great, but there's an ongoing operational cost around that monthly subscription that you need to worry about. There's some new cellular technologies coming out, LTE-M and NB-IoT, which allow for low-throughput connections on devices, which are really ideally suited for smart cities. But you've got, again, concerns with ongoing monthlies. In some cases, putting up a private network is the way to go. Going with a low-power WAN type deployment like a LoRa or an Ingenue or a Sigfox now allows the city to control the infrastructure and control the connectivity for their devices. Now you have an upfront capital cost and nothing on the monthly side, but you also have to have the staff available to support that as the solutions provider that's working on the project. So wireless connectivity, way lots of options out there from satellite to cellular to private network, etc. Understanding it allows you to make the right choice for each device type that you have out in the field, both from a throughput perspective, a cost perspective, as well as potentially from a latency perspective, depending on how quickly that information needs to get into your system.
So, you know, a lot of this covers, a lot of the skills are really just the understanding, right? So understanding the overall solution, understanding AI and machine learning, understanding wireless connectivity. And the last skill that we identified as kind of the most important ones was understanding the hardware, right? So all those sensors and devices and stuff. So kind of closing out, what can you talk about the hardware side of it?
Again, it's very much a matter of understanding, as you mentioned, Chris. But with hardware, it's going to be a little bit different because you're building as well as understanding. So you definitely need to understand it in order to pick and choose what's available out on the market. But you also need to be able to deploy it at the end of the day and make a successful implementation of whatever project it is that you're providing to that end customer. So with hardware, there's a variety of different sensors and devices and gateways and infrastructure for the connectivity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, available on the market today. It's going to take a group of technologies in order to make a smart city deployment work. You're never going to do it alone. And as a solutions provider, you really are the frontline defense for that city to find who the best vendors are for each of those types of sensors and each of those types of devices. So if you're doing control at a power plant inside of a facility, it's going to be very different, the devices and potentially the vendor, than if you're simply doing a parking lot monitor where you can now tell the citizens when or when not a parking spot is available. And then you take into account mobile assets as well. We've talked a lot about fixed assets as related to smart cities, but there's a lot of mobile assets too, that one needs to worry about, from buses to the individual employees to snow plows and salt spreaders and graders in colder areas. So having access to that type of information is of great benefit both to the city as well as to the citizen. Understanding what devices are available and how they can be best implemented and integrated along with the rest of the smart city solution is a huge benefit. And being able to figure out which sensors and devices can be integrated into a holistic platform, and the data is provided to the AI and machine learning core, becomes very important.
Wow, so lots to know, lots to understand. As a council, we are going to spend more time discussing not only these top four identified skills, but the 13 other ones as well that the council has looked into. So I want to thank Robert for this coffee break with the CompTIA Council podcast. Again, he is the CTO with Aware 360. If you're interested in more information about the CompTIA Councils, you can go to comptia.org/councils and read up on the different advisory councils that we have. So Robert, thank you very much for this. And any final words?
I'm happy to have participated, Chris, and hopefully it's a great start to some of the deeper work that we're going to be doing with CompTIA and the councils here over the next few months.
All right. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks.